Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend John Wegraff, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome. Whether you're on site or online and in the nursery, live or later, we're so glad that you are with us. Please visit our website where you can sign up on the link and get all sorts of good information about what we're up to here. And in the broader community, and if you're with us for the first time, welcome. We're open and affirming congregation, fully welcome people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. And I want to emphasize affirmation. We just don't open our doors and tolerate people, we affirm them. And the playground, children of all ages are welcome in this community in any way that's meaningful for you. In the playground down front, and I already noticed that we have some children. I thought I saw a couple of children with glowing halos a few minutes ago, but all children have halos. You could just really see theirs. We have a lovingly staffed nursery and godly play after the word for all ages. We are a prayerful community, and so when we come to that time of the service, I'll be inviting people to share their prayers and concerns, but if folks at home have something, just send us an email and they'll get that to me. So Carl Jung, pretty well-known Austrian psychologist, kind of the father of depth psychology, said that authentic living is much like holding a candle and walking into a windstorm. If you want to keep that candle lit, you've got to walk into the wind. If you walk away from the wind, it will blow it out in a moment. Christ came into the storms and the winds of this world, and he was the light of the world. And we acknowledge that light that he shares with us as we light the Christ candle. And now, because I completely skipped the announcements, a little out of order, we have several. come on.
Hello, good morning. I'm Sharon Kirby, part of the welcome team here at the church. And what we are talking about is looking for somebody to help lead Natick Days this year. The welcome team will be away, so we won't be here to manage it, so to speak, or lead it. And that's why we're asking for somebody who would really love to do this to step up and be a leader for Natick Days, which is Saturday, September 6th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Rain date is Sunday, September 7th, 1 to 5 p.m. That may sound daunting. I can't do all of that. Well, you don't have to do it alone. We'll help you recruit volunteers. You can recruit a friend to help you. And guess what? You don't have to do the whole time either. It's totally up to you what you want it to be. So Natick Days is a gathering of Natick organizations to do fundraising, to welcome the community, and to share the mission of what we're about. So please see me at coffee hour or email the church if you're interested. Thank you.
Jeff, get in line, folks.
All right, John said to me, he's like, hey, if I forget, just raise your hand and call out and say, you know, you have an announcement to make. And then I was too shy to do that. Or I was like, am I really going to do this? And then Sharon Kirby, thank you for having the gusto to say, hey, you skipped something. I am up here to talk about the fourth annual Farmathon. We've been doing this for a couple years now. It's at the Natick Community Organic Farm. It's on Saturday morning, June 14th. It is a really nice opportunity to get together with some members from the Needham Congregational Church. We usually have about 20 of us. We do some light farming in the morning. Because it's in the spring, there's often new piglets and new sheep. And so part of the farming involves also helping with the animals a little bit. And our volunteer time at the farm is what we do with our physical labor. But we also do it kind of like in the theme of a walkathon. You can get pledges from family and friends. And the money you raise to sponsor your time at the Natick Community Organic Farm goes to support education and development in Santa Maria Ceja. So it's a nice social event. It's a nice time to be out, working on the farm. And then it's a nice opportunity to raise money. And it's Saturday, June 14th. And you can find me in coffee hour if you want to find out more about it. And, and my mother said, because she's here today, that you all have to do it. So.
Good morning. I'm Jeanette, and welcome. And I'm here not for future things, but for something that we've already started. We're not going to leave you alone. This is our friendly reminder about our reverse offering that began on Mother's Day. And many of you who were here received these beautiful envelopes with these lovely leaves and a $5 bill. Yes, you got paid to come to church. And the whole purpose of it was to pass along peace and comfort, in essence, pay it forward, a donation to an organization that's near and dear to your heart, or perhaps buying a coffee for the person behind you in line. However you choose to share the love and joy that we find here every day, every week, with others in the community, to extend the love that our congregation has for our friends and neighbors near and far. And we have envelopes still available if you haven't gotten one, or you can just use your own $5 or $10, however you would like to maximize that. But we encourage you all to tell a story of what you did. You don't have to put your name, but either write it on the green leaf that was in the envelope, or just send a quick email to Reverend Cindy, and we will add our leaves to the tree, and it will blossom next Sunday. That's our wrap-up. So any questions? We're trying to put the love of we have for our faith into our community, and we know that you all do that every day. We're just trying to capture the stories. So thank you. Look forward to seeing what all unfolds.
Any other announcements? Okay, we'll be getting back on track now. Feel free to follow the order of worship in the bulletin. Sarah Lynn will lead us in the call to worship.
Thanks, John. Good morning, I'm Sarah Lynn. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, God, grant us grace and humility. Lord, make your covenant known to us. Grant us grace and humility. Draw our minds and hearts to you. Grant us grace and humility. Release us from the snares of pride and self-righteousness. Grant us grace and humility. Embrace us in our loneliness and affliction. Grant us grace and humility. Relieve the troubles of our hearts and free us from anguish. Grant us grace and humility. For our hope is in you and you alone. Grant us grace and humility. Amen. Our first hymn is number 407, Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing. Please rise in body or spirit.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We begin our centering prayer this morning with a little bit of relative silence. Take this opportunity to breathe deeply and feel God settle your heart. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that this day we may learn to walk humbly with our brothers and sisters. It is all too easy for us to walk in righteous arrogance, but pride causes division, and we desire peace. Help us to humble ourselves in order that we do not let the lies of the enemy overtake us. Rather, help us to count ourselves and others as children of God. Help us to value one another in this humble spirit, so that we may live to the fullest. Amen. Throughout his ministry, Jesus spoke of peace and blessed his friends in the name of peace. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, we find, "When the chronically and incurably hemorrhaging woman sneaked up behind him and touched his robe, he healed her and sent her on her way with, 'Go in peace.'" From Luke chapter 2, when the angel announced to the shepherds that God had become human, he reassured them with, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the 70 to spread the gospel, he instructed them rather specifically, "Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.'" From his farewell addresses in the Gospel of John, he was rather clear, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. And I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace." And finally, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Let us offer that peace that passes all understanding to one another. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. I'll wait for the furniture moving to happen. So hear this from Luke chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them. Amen. So, lean in for our word for all ages. In a few weeks, a group of young people and adults will travel to Cabell and Lincoln counties, West Virginia, to make people's homes warm, safe, accessible, and dry. Some of you have heard the stories and seen photos from other years. Some of the people traveling to West Virginia this summer are here today. So knowing that Bob has his toolbox with him, I thought it would be a good idea to check that they have what they will need in the toolbox for a great work camp experience. So Bob has his toolbox here. We're going to bring it over, and we're going to see what we need. So,
I got a problem.
Oh, Bob. You are not ready. Wait, we need some things. We need, first slide, a hammer. We need a hammer. Can you find a hammer? If I had a hammer, I'd hammer out. Yeah. All right, we got a hammer. All right, what's next? We need a tape measure, Bob. Yes, a tape measure for measuring all that lumber. Yes, and exactly. And we need a tool belt. We need a tool belt. Yes. Okay. Boy, I hope I gave you the right things to put in. Okay. We have a tool belt. And we need something else to put in the tool belt. What's next? A crowbar. Shoot. I didn't tell you a crowbar. How about a level, Bob? Do you have a level? I forgot I changed that slide. This is what it's like in West Virginia. All right. And all right, for the things, that thing that you use to put holes and then to put things onto a deck, like the, what is that? A drill. We need a drill. All right. Now, some of you have been on the trip. This is some of the things we need for building things, but there, we also build community when we're there. We build with community with the people in West Virginia. We build community with one another. So what else do we need in this toolbox to build community? People. We need people. How about some of the people who are going on the trip? How about if you guys come on up? Did I hear patience? Oh, thank God. Yes, patience. What else? Band-Aids. We need Band-Aids. Yeah. What else?
Music.
We need music. What else? Empathy, energy.
Good fan.
Good fan, yes. definitely a water bottle, as you see up there, but also a sense of humor. And someone told us this the last time we did this, knowledge, you can't fix everything. So with all of those things in our toolbox, do you think it's all there, Bob?
I'm feeling kind of weak, like I need some more power.
Power? How will we get power, Bob?
I don't know. How do we get power in this place?
How about a blessing?
That might help.
All right, I think we can do that. So that's something we know how to do. So with all of our work campers that are here today, there are more people who are going who aren't here, but this is great. And we're going to get the congregation's blessing. We'll have the tools and supplies for an awesome work camp this year. And so, will you join us in this blessing? John is going to say a line, and then I'll say a line. But your response is, the church is leaving the building. And the work camper's response is,
Love works.
Because love works. That is the motto of work camp. So, got it? You guys, you're going to be loud? Love works? Okay. All right, so John, I think.
Okay.
Ready? Right there.
God of blessing, bless all the participants in this year's West Virginia work camp. Ready to be God's hands in the world.
The church is leaving the building.
Because love works.
Bless them with patience for each other, stamina for the work ahead, and compassion for the stranger. The church is leaving the building.
Because love works. Bless their eyes that they might be open to see in new ways. Their hearts that they might be touched by the stories of others. Their spirits that they might grow.
The church is leaving the building.
Because love works.
Bless the people in Cabell and Lincoln counties with whom they will work and serve and live.
The church is leaving the building.
Because love works.
Bless family members staying behind doing the daily work that allows others to travail.
The church is leaving the building. Because love works. Bless First Congregational Church of Natick as it reaches out beyond these walls, ready to transform the world. The church is leaving the building.
Because love works.
And the people said,
Amen.
Thank you. And you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you so much. The children are invited to head to Godly Play and connect and get ready for when they join work camp in the future.
So the title of my sermon this morning is Wandering into Humility. Not wandering, wondering. So where do sermon topics come from? I had a professor say to me one time, this was way back in seminary, a time I can barely remember, that 99.9% of sermons, the preacher is preaching to themselves. They're talking about some issue or something that's troubling them and looking for an answer, and you can only hope you're not the only one with that problem. So this has been my problem and what led me to this topic. There are messianic pretenders. There are chosen ones whose ways are troubling to me and are like low-hanging fruit, tends to constellate its opposite. I found myself over the last 4 months getting exhausted and started asking myself, well, why am I being exhausted by this messianic pretender? Well, what I was getting exhausted by was my own messianic pretensions. Getting filled with my own moral superiority and self-righteousness. I really needed a break. not just from what's going on, but from myself and its effect on me. And I listened to myself and actually sort of started to get troubled by my own sense of righteousness. And that led me to this passage. Let's take a minute and think about what's going on here. The other thing I do, and I think I've said this before, whenever I read a Bible passage, I don't just identify with one person, I make myself identify with every person except Jesus. I allow Jesus to be Jesus for me. So here we have 10 lepers in the town. Jesus is on his way in his ministry. And they cry out, have pity on us. And Jesus instructs them to go see the priest. Do you know why he sent them to see the priest? The reason why, now I sound like Jeff. He's always asking me questions that he's going to answer. The reason why he sent the priest, in the ancient world, if you had leprosy, it was more than just a physical condition. It was a social and spiritual condition. And people were actually declared unclean by the priests. And when they were declared unclean by the priests, they had to separate themselves from society. And the only way they could be readmitted to society was if they went to the priests and they were declared clean. So Jesus is actually just following the rules in this story when he tells them, you're going to have to go see the priests. I can heal you, but they're going to have to give the okay because these are the rules. And so the 10 lepers all follow the rules. They head off to see the priest, and on the way, they're healed. The thing that should amaze anybody about this story is that only one of them was amazed. Only one of them was overcome. Only one of them could not believe the gift that they had just received. Oh, sure, he's going to go see the priest for sure, but there was something he needed to do first. And was that was to throw his feet at Jesus. Throw himself at Jesus' feet and give thanks for this great gift, this great healing. It is his expression of humility and gratefulness and wonder that's the power of this story. So I knew I had a good start in solving my problem. As it happens, humility's not an easy virtue. In fact, T.S. Eliot said that humility is the most difficult virtue because it's so hard to give up your good thoughts about yourself. He says it's so hard to not get wrapped up in yourself. But it runs deeper than that. Actually, humility's never been a popular virtue, and it is the crowning virtue in the Christian tradition. and maybe in other traditions as well. Humility was not considered a virtue in the ancient world. Aristotle never talks about humility as a virtue, not Plato, none of the Stoics. Humility simply was not a virtue. It was considered weakness. A little odd that they came to that conclusion given some other thing. I mean, Socrates said that wisdom begins with wonder. But there's also a certain animus against humility in the modern world. A fellow named Francis Bacon, he's a kind of a precursor to the Enlightenment. He wrote a book. It's a small treatise with kind of a stuffy title, The Instauration. And The Instauration, you could actually kind of think of it as the Communist Manifesto of the Enlightenment, where he kind of lays out the project. Where he actually lays out the project of the modern world. And in the Great Instauration, he says that we will no longer be subject to nature, we'll become masters of nature. It was kind of the exaltation and the raising up of technical knowledge is the predominant form of knowledge. The kind of knowledge is that focuses on gaining control of things. It was rather, and if you read it in a certain way, it actually sort of reads like a burial sermon for wonder. Nature's no longer something to be wondered at. Nature's no longer something to be held by, sustained by. Nature's something to be managed and controlled and submitted to our will. There's a lot of that running around. Ask the environmentalists what the problem is. Rabbi Harold Kushner said, "We teach children to measure and weigh, but we do not teach them how to revere, how to sense wonder and awe." Humility is born of an experience of being subject to something, of being exposed or encountering something greater than yourself. Now, I want to be clear as we get a little bit more into humility, what humility is and it is not. Obviously, humility is not pride, that is being kind of full of yourself. But neither is humility thinking less of yourself. As C.S. Lewis said, humility is not about thinking less of yourself, but thinking less about yourself. One becomes humble only, I would suggest one of the most humbling experiences is falling in love, where you're absolutely captured by the other person. And there are other, just so many different experiences of humility, and I'm going to share one most recently. But humility is born in the capacity to get lost in something. something greater, something unfamiliar, something that's fascinating, something that pulls you out of yourself. So, in my exhaustion, I had the great benefit of going on a 9-day trip to St. John in the Virgin Islands. Went with a couple of friends, John and Gail Chiche and Marcia. They're all snorkelers. Marcia's a master diver. She's been down 200 feet. I don't even know what that's like. But John and Gail had done they'd done a lot of snorkeling all over. Me, not a snorkeler. I'm a wave rider. I'm a windsurfer. Nothing more thrilling than becoming one with a gust of wind. But I'm a surface guy. On the surface. I like breathing air. But they convinced me that snorkeling would be fun. I didn't see how sticking my head in the water and not coming up for air, I'm a good swimmer, but I like rhythmic breathing, you know. But no, snorkeling, you gotta put your head in the water and leave it there. I was not convinced that air was gonna come through that tube. Just not convinced. But I wasn't going to be left out, so I decided that I would try it, and so I did. I had no idea the beauty under the water. And it wasn't like an aquarium where you've kind of got them captured in a glass box. You're in their home. And my goodness, it's like a dancing rainbow down there. Bluefish of every size and every shade of blue. Eskimos have over 100 names for snow. We need at least 100 names for blue. And they're always the little greeters when you're coming up to the reef, the little blue and yellow guys. When you start to see those guys flitting around, you know you're getting close. And there are the parrotfish that are sort of a bluish rainbow poking away at the rocks. I've been informed that they do that. They're the ones that make sand. Let me tell you, they're working really hard. And there are the schools of the translucent yellowfish. There are the graceful manta rays and turtles. I never thought of a turtle as graceful until I saw a turtle underwater. And they just kind of float through. You can't even tell how they're making the movement. It was wonderful. But one moment in particular stands out. That sense that I was a visitor in this world. John Chiche and I were out snorkeling among some reefs, and we're going through, and there are these kind of caverns, and we're, you know, looking at all the beautiful fish, and I'm kind of coming along, and you know, the sunlight would come down through the water and make the fish shimmer, and I spotted up ahead of me. Something that looked big. I said, I wonder if that's a big fish. So I started swimming up toward it. And it opened its mouth. And I said, well, it's a big fish with teeth. So I kind of stopped moving toward it and kind of got around to the side of it. And it was a great barracuda. I swear it was 5 feet long. It was the biggest thing I've ever seen. Just floating there in the sunlight, looking at me. And I suddenly, it punctuated for me, this isn't your world, this is mine. This is where I live. I had an enormous amount of respect for this barracuda. He probably had an enormous amount of respect for me too. And we just kind of, I just hung there in the water and watched him, and he watched me, opening and closing his mouth. Keep your distance. This is my home. It was wonderful. And I was humbled by the beauty of the fish, and humbled by the majesty of this great barracuda. Albert Einstein said there are two ways to live. You can live as if nothing is a miracle. You can live as if everything is a miracle. The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and all science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand rapt, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. It had come to me and clarified for me in St. John that I was the problem. I needed to take more time to wonder, and there are many things to wonder about. Wonder about the people that I work with. I had a supervisor one time. I was training to be a psychologist. I walked into his office, it was my supervision time, and I sat down and I proceeded to give him a very articulate clinical analysis of the patient that I'd just seen. And I was dead on. I'm smart. I'm a smart guy. Maybe not as smart as Doug and Lane, but I'm pretty smart. And he said, well, Dr. Wegraff says that's all very interesting. He says, I wonder what he thinks. I wonder what's in his mind. And I said, well, I'm telling you, this is all based on things that he said. He said, I know that. Does he know what he said to you? Suddenly realized that there was something to wonder. And to help him learn to wonder about himself. I wonder at the flowers that grow in my yard. I wonder at the love that people have for me. I wonder at the wind in the trees. I wonder at the breaths I take. Humility is a virtue. Like all virtues, you have to practice. You have to take time to encounter something that's strange or unfamiliar, and sometimes it's even just yourself or your partner. Ask him a question. Bishop Fulton Sheen, help me see how simple the practice of humility can be. It says our happiest times are those in which we forget ourselves, usually in being kind to someone else. That tiny moment of self-abdication is an act of true humility. The one who loses themselves finds themselves and finds their happiness. So I've come to the conclusion that there is a way to get through. There is a cure. And it's to be humble and to wonder and to be thankful and to be grateful. It feels a whole lot better than being right. Amen. A good practice of humility is sharing what's in your minds and your hearts, whether it's joys or concerns. Why don't we begin with joys? Begin with a pretty fish. We'll leave the barracuda for later. What joys do we have? Jeanette. Leo Thomas. So Jeanette is saying that friends of theirs just had a baby and his name is Leo Thomas. That has a certain rhythm to it. Like a fish swimming, I like it. Okay, Dee Dee is holding up this being our 21st anniversary of being an open and affirming congregation, and this being the beginning of Pride Week, Pride Month. Other joys. Here to celebrate your granddaughter's high school graduation. Okay. Okay. Carolyn? Carolyn celebrating all the work campers here to go. I was impressed by the crew up there. Yes. Very good. An act of humility for sure. Other joys? Yes.
Your father, Robert, is turning 90. So Lorraine is saying the Golden Tones are going to be doing a concert at the high school?
With the Natick
High School. And when? At the Spiritual Center. Okay. I'm thankful for all the assistance Marcia gave me in learning how to snorkel. A terrible equipment trouble. Other joys, concerns. Yes. Okay, prayers for your friend, your little friend. He's 3 and a half, who's having surgery. Okay. Yes. Holding Maeve and her whole family in our hearts. Yes. Prayers for your daughter-in-law's uncle who fell and broke some ribs and at 95. Yes. Prayers for a Milford high school student who was taken by ICE. He was going to graduate today.
John, up here.
Yes.
Hello. Miriam and Keith have written in that Keith's dad, Phil Jennings, has been transferred to rehab to get his legs strong enough for him to stand up on his own before sending him home. So they are asking for prayers for a quick recovery so that Phil is able to return home very soon.
Okay, absolutely. That's a joy that he's getting better. Other concerns? We humble ourselves when we share a meal. We acknowledge to one another our need and our vulnerability. We humble ourselves when we come to church. We acknowledge before others our need and our vulnerability, our physical need and our spiritual need. We humble ourselves because we need the sustenance of food and drink. We humble ourselves in needing the care and concern of others. Let us pray. God, when we think of it, there is No one or nothing more humble than you. You are always there, sustaining your whole creation. You are the beginning, and you are the end. You are our sustenance. Without you, we would not be. And so we give thanks for this time of coming together, acknowledging to one another and acknowledging to you our need to be fed in body, mind, and spirit. Let it be so, in Christ's name. Amen. And the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he gathered his disciples together, not to perform a miracle, not to teach them wisdom, but to break bread with them. He ate with them, and he shared a cup with them. And he took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This bread is my body broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do so in remembrance of me." And we thirst for the love of God, and we thirst for the sustenance of God. And Jesus took the cup and he said to his disciples, "This cup is a covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of sins for you and for many. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Let us give thanks. Lord, we give thanks that you have gathered us together on this morning to share in this holy meal. We give thanks to the sustenance that you offer to us each moment, each hour, and each day of our lives. Lord God, we ask that this sustenance might strengthen us in mind, body, and spirit, that we might continue to do your work in the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, I'm Dave. I'm here with Sharon Kirby. We're part of the FCC Welcome Team, and we're here during communion offering to ask you to consider how you give and receive from FCC. All FCC activities are supported by many unseen hands, custodial care, office support, town of Natick professionals who make necessary repairs and upgrades, as well as those that we're a little more familiar with and aware of, Faith Formation with Sarah Land, and of course our pastor, Cindy. And we're so grateful, and they all have a cost. So the communion offering is specifically for the pastor to help to use anyone in our community. And if you'd like to support the communion fund, there are special envelopes, I brought one up, to help anyone in our community. The welcome team that we're on organizes get-togethers to encourage people to connect with us and with each other. So we welcome newcomers at our newcomers brunch. We welcome families with our nature programs, and we also welcome an exchange of ideas with book groups and movie nights with open and accepting discussions.
So while we offer the initial welcome, it is you who follow through on where you will take it. We welcome your talents, your generosity, your ideas, and your fellowship. One of the core values that has been highlighted recently with the new Pope, Leo, from the Augustinian Order, is that of friendship, where we encounter and discover the presence of God in and through one another. I thought that was so beautiful when I heard someone speak about that. As we participate in the spiritual practice of this morning's offering, let us see this as a way of offering the hand of friendship to each other and to the wider community.
Thank you.
Lord God, we have learned to be servants because you were first servant to us. We come before you with these, our offerings, expressions of our desire to be humble before those in our community, those among us who are in need of our assistance and our help. Grant that these gifts might go to your good purposes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the grace, mercy, and peace of God be with each and every one of you. Take time to wonder. Walk humbly with one another. Walk humbly with your God. Amen.